Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Jesse DeLeon, along with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we celebrate the Ascension of the Lord. This is a special Sunday. Our readings will be from the Gospel of Matthew for the Ascension of the Lord, not the seventh Sunday of Easter. It might be a little confusing.
Right. There are only, I think, three or four states or provinces, we call them, in the church, New York, Pennsylvania, that maintain the Ascension of the Lord, the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord on Thursday, which is the proper time, 40 days after the resurrection. However, because of other reasons of busy schedules and right, the importance of this day to celebrate it as a community, the rest of the U.S. has decided to keep it on Sunday. So we're celebrating the Ascension of the Lord on Sunday, not the seventh Sunday readings, if you see those.
Thank you, Bishop. And if you would now share today's gospel.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. When Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And behold, I am with you until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, in hearing this gospel, it seems like many important things happen on the mountain.
Yes, it is. It's not by mistake, really, that the mountain is significant, beginning with the roots of our faith in the Christian tradition, rooted in our Jewish, the faith of our Jewish brothers and sisters, and the fact that Jesus himself was Jewish. And, of course, the symbol of the mountain for Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, is really a very significant event in the Judeo-Christian tradition, that on that mountain Moses went up and received the commandments of God, received that, that mandate of God for his people to follow these commandments. And so there we have a beginning. We also see in the life of Jesus that he was tempted, and he was taken on the mountaintop and looked over all the world as part of his kingdom, you know, from the devil, and he would offer him, as if he could offer all these things. The Beatitudes, the mandate of being Christian, to be peacemakers, to be people of justice, to be people who are holy and single-hearted, the Beatitudes were on a mountain. And also the transfiguration of the Lord was on a mountain, Mount Tabor, signified as the one, as the mountain. And there Jesus was transfigured in front of his disciples. So now at the Ascension, as the Lord returns, it's another important place, the mountain where he called his disciples there to witness his return to the Father. So the mountain in the life of Christianity and Judaism is very, very important.
I thought it was interesting, too, that when the disciples went to the mountain, they saw Jesus, they worshiped, but they doubted. After spending so much time with Jesus, it is interesting that they doubted.
Well, it's significant because, what you're saying is very true, because it is a little bit of a development here, though. You know, when Jesus came through the locked doors and appearing to them and saying, "Peace be with you," I mean, they were first frightened. But here, at least, they worshiped. They realized that they were in front of their Redeemer, and so they worshiped, but they doubted. The doubt, I would definitely correlate with the absence of the Holy Spirit yet, that they had not been given the Spirit. The Spirit, as we'll hopefully talk about next Sunday with Pentecost, was given by Jesus as gift, but had not really been manifested to them, and they had not received that Spirit as at Pentecost. So the doubt is still there, and we're going to talk more about that next week, how the Spirit brings us to a fullness of faith. And so I think there's still that human and divine struggle there. They worship because they knew this was the one that they were awaiting, and yet there was still the doubt of, why is he leaving us? What are we going to do next? I think the doubt was probably, we doubt for different reasons.
Will he come back again?
Yes. He said he was going to come back again. Is he really going to come back? So, you know, I think in a very simple way, it's a very human response too, because there was that other element of the Spirit not yet bestowed upon them.
And I was looking back on this and looking at Matthew's gospel. At the beginning and at the end, he starts and ends with the risen Christ in his gospel.
Yes, right. And that fact that I am with you always until the end of the ages has always been for the church a sense of deep encouragement. And, you know, St. Augustine, in one of his sermons, says that when the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, left heaven, he never left, even though he came to earth. And as he ascended into heaven, he never left. He stayed. And yet he ascended. So I won't say it's a play on words, but it's certainly a reality that what Jesus gave us and what the Holy Spirit's role is for us is to always be present to us. And I think if you look back a few verses before that, where Jesus says that full authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, then what is he really saying to us? That he has that universal authority. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. And too often, I think, in our approach to faith, that we push our faith just to a corner, or we pull it out whenever we need it, as though it's some kind of a helper in only in times of need. But when we look at what Jesus is saying, and of course, at the end of the liturgical year, we crown him as Christ the King, the universal King. And so we've got to look at this idea that this is our Savior and that he has that full authority. Where does that authority reside? It resides in his Word. If we look at his Word, that it is meant for all. It is meant for people who seek justice. It is meant for those who maybe not have a religious faith, but have a desire to be humanitarians and to aid people who seek justice, who seek to feed the poor, to clothe the hungry, to bring about peace. All those efforts are also found in the Word of God given to us by Jesus Christ. And so, again, he is there as our universal authority for all peoples. The Second Vatican Council used to speak about seeds of the truth, seeds of Christ in all religions, that if it coincides with what we, what the gospel, what Jesus says, then it's also, you know, part of that authority of God, the authority of Christ that is there. So we can find that truth everywhere. So in that sense, he's left us, but he's not left us because of the power of his Word, which again, the Holy Spirit will bring to life in all of us. And he also there commissions the apostles, the disciples to go to the end, to go to all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the three, which will then set us up for 2 weeks from now on the Holy Trinity, but commissioning the disciples and the apostles to go and to bring his Word to all peoples, to bring them to God. I mean, ultimately, Christ came to redeem us and to unite us to God and to one another. And so that authority is the authority of his Word to bring justice, to bring peace to all peoples.
It was a short gospel, but there are many messages in it. We are reminded of our baptism. We are revisiting our baptism.
Yeah, we renewed our baptismal promises on Easter. We renew them as a recommitment to live this life that Christ has brought us, as Christians and to promote that life. And so it's a task, you know. It's not it's not something that is some kind of a formula that we get as some kind of a blueprint that I just follow, and life just goes on the way I want it to go. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the icing on the cake is that I'm baptized. No, I'm baptized, and because of that, I have a serious responsibility to live my life as Christ, to be transformed into this life so that we can make a difference in the world, bringing peace, justice, and love. I mean, ultimately, as we talk about so often here, the ultimate truth of life and the ultimate truth at the root of everything Jesus said is love, love of God and love of neighbor. And so love is always the final authority in our own personal lives, but also in the life of our world.
You speak of that so much, and it's something we always need to remember. We will take a short break, and we will discuss the ascension as our Shepherd's View continues right here.
A special evening of adoration, healing, and prayer is available to everyone at Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church, 1123 Main Drive in Corpus Christi, every second Friday of the month at 6 p.m. It will be an evening of spiritual healing, inviting God to prepare our hearts for adoration. You may call them at 361-241-2004 and send your petitions and testimonials. Father Gabriel invites you to attend, adore, and sit at the feet of Jesus and tell him your problems, and to experience conversion, compassion, forgiveness, peace, and joy. For more information, call Our Lady of the Rosary Parish Church, 361-241-2004.
The Knights of Columbus cordially invite you to a very special Mass event. It's called Wheelchair Sunday, and it consists of 5 Catholic Holy Masses the weekend of June 10th and 11th at Corpus Christi Cathedral. At each Mass, beginning with the Vigil Mass on Saturday and followed by 4 Masses on Sunday, 4th degree Sir Knight Christopher Lewis, son of legendary comedian Jerry Lewis, will discuss the project and present a video describing the push for more wheelchairs for indigent people who desperately need our help. Since 2003, the Knights of Columbus, through these Wheelchair Sunday fundraisers, have provided over 7,000 wheelchairs to persons of all faiths and ages who thirst for mobility, independence, dignity, and hope. As a byproduct, this work has caused membership in the Knights of Columbus to increase markedly. For more specific information, call the Diocesan Deputy of the Knights of Columbus, Rudy Ortiz, 361-549-9528.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. This is Ascension Sunday, and we will continue our conversation about the Feast of the Ascension being celebrated today. So many things to think about on this very special day. We remember the words of Pope Benedict when he writes about the Ascension. The meaning of Christ's Ascension expresses our belief that in Christ, the humanity we all share has entered into the inner life of God in a new and hitherto unheard of way. It means man has found an everlasting place in God. He goes on to say that it would be a mistake if we interpreted the Ascension as the temporary absence of Christ from the world. Rather, we go to heaven to the extent that we go to Jesus Christ and enter into him. Heaven is a person. Jesus himself is what we call heaven. It is a lot to think about in those few sentences.
That's why we, as when we are being trained, we have to study philosophy, because there's a lot of philosophical concepts there of the humanity, presence on earth, and yet the metaphysical, but also the profound theology that's there. You know, people still hang on to ideas of, well, heaven is a place. It obviously is a place if we're there. But when the Pope really brings it out to say heaven is a person, the person of Jesus himself is what we call heaven, then we can see truly that it is our relationship with Him that already takes us into heaven, that we have to live in heaven. In fact, it is St. Augustine again that says that as Christ has risen, we must go with Him in our hearts. In other words, we embrace Him constantly in our life. He is the meaning of our life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that, and then says, where I am, that you also may be. So there's all of these scriptural references to the fact of what the Pope is saying to us, that Christ is our heaven. And so for that reason, He needed to ascend into heaven to not only prepare a place for us, but to be our heaven in that sense.
It is a truly different way of thinking of heaven, even if we thought of it as a place. But to think of Jesus as heaven, that gives us so much more to reflect on.
I don't know how any of us really conceptualizes heaven as place, but maybe it's heaven where I can still have my own house and my own dog and my own pets and my own sports and my own garden and whatever. And we may, with that kind of an approach, we may shortchange the fact that heaven is relationship. It is communion, which is what we speak about so much today. It's communion with God. It's communion with Christ. It's communion with all the saints who have gone before us. And so it's first and foremost a relationship. And who has united us in relationship is Christ. In that prayer at the end of his life, in the 17th chapter of St. John's Gospel, where he says, Father, may they all be one, as you and I are one, so may they be one in us, I living in them, you living in me, that they may be one so that the world may believe. And so even here on earth, our faith is about communion, the communion that is brought about by love that we spoke about. And so it's this love for God, first and foremost, love of Christ, adherence to His word, etc., that really brings us heaven on earth in that sense. And so that, for that reason, we can say, as St. Augustine says, He ascended, but He didn't leave us. And He came down from heaven, but He didn't leave heaven. And so it's this relationship in Christ who is both God and man. And then, you know, when we think, well, why did Jesus have to leave? Well, again, Jesus had a corporal body. He was incarnated. So God in the flesh came to us. And so He took on our human nature. He took on our corporal nature, or our corporal being, in the sense that He had a body. And bodies, you know, as ours, is limited to time and space. So I can't be here in Corpus Christi and be in Singapore at the same time. I'm not spirit in that sense. I may want to be in spirit, but in body, I can't do that. And so even Jesus taking on our full humanity cannot be two places at one time as a human being, okay? So in order to be present to all, He had to ascend back to the Father, taking our humanity with Him, in His body, His risen body and transformed body, but still His body. It's a human body. So takes that into heaven, and then the Spirit comes, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, does not have body, and so can be present to all of us. It is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of the relationship of the Father and the Son. The Church has these beautiful feasts all together to fill out the picture the death and resurrection of Christ, the ascension, and then who we are in the Trinity. So that will come up in a couple of weeks. But He ascended into heaven to remove that the corporal part of His life, so that the Spirit could come and dwell in all of us. As St. Augustine says, and all our hearts need to ascend with Him. And that's why at Mass, and I think this is why we need to always look at the beautiful prayers that we say, and probably we say them without ever thinking about what are we saying. When the priest says just before the preface, lift up your hearts, we have lifted them up to the Lord. That's the invitation, to lift them up with the Lord, to the Lord, so that He is the one for whom we live and from whom we receive our meaning, etc. In fact, in another place, St. Augustine says that you cannot pray unless you lift your heart up. Because without lifting our hearts up, again, kind of an ascending ourselves, our own ascension, ascension of our heart, we can't pray. We may end up asking for things for ourselves, but what is prayer but the lifting up of our prayers, our needs, our adoration, our glory, our praise, lifting all that up to God. And so in that sense, we have to ascend with our hearts up to with Christ to enter into His heaven. All of that is part of what Pope Benedict is saying when he says that Christ Jesus is our heaven and that we go to heaven with Him. You also find in the preface today, there is there's two prefaces which are read. This is the part right before the Holy Holy at Mass. There are two of them. The first one says that Christ is the mediator between God and man, judge of the world and Lord of all. He has passed beyond our sight, not to abandon us, but to be our hope. There again, our hope means that our humanity, because Christ being God in becoming a human in the body assumes all of us in that, in His humanity, we're all present there. Our humanity is now in heaven with Him. And so He has passed beyond the sight not to abandon us, but to be our hope. And it's also important to understand here we have the ascension of the Lord, and then we have the assumption of the Blessed Mother who was taken body and soul. Again, the fact that a human being, the Mother of Christ, who opened her life to Him, also is taken to heaven body and soul, and she too is our hope. And so when we live today with so many people without hope, this Feast of the Ascension is very important for us to recognize our hope, that we are people of hope because we are people who share in the humanity of Christ, or He shared in ours, and elevated it to the presence in heaven. And it's not just I think it would be a mistake just to see it as an event. It is an event in the life of Christ, but it also has profound theological and practical meaning for us. So it is a pattern. It's a pattern for all of us that we will to follow. And so the preface continues and says, Christ is the beginning, the head of the church. Where He has gone, we hope to follow. And so today is really a day that celebrates hope as Christ ascends. You know, many times in people's lives when people that we love leave, we're sad. Different emotions, human emotions come out, and certainly the disciples had that. But it's also the day of hope. And as Jesus ascends into heaven, we can see that the disciples, as the gospel said, bowed down in worship, but then they doubted. They didn't have that gift of hope, that virtue of hope, which the Holy Spirit brings. They felt the absence more than the presence because the Holy Spirit had not come, and we wait till next weekend to read about Pentecost Sunday and the Holy Spirit.
It is a lot to think about, and the final words of today's gospel offer us assurance and comfort when Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age.
That's our hope.
Thank you, Bishop, for your insight as we ask you to close out our program.
Sure. Let us pray. God, our Savior, hear us, and through this holy mystery, give us hope that the glory you have given us in Christ will be given to the church, His body, for He is Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
St. Joseph Catholic Church in Corpus Christi is offering a Journey of Faith Pentecost Retreat, June 3rd and 4th at the Church Parish Hall and Gymnasium, 710 19th Street. It's free, and a box lunch will be provided on Saturday of the retreat. You'll experience spiritual renewal in the Holy Spirit with talks by Father Williams, SOLT, and other priests, reconciliation, prayers, Eucharistic adoration, praise, and worship. To pre-register or get more information, please call 361-949-8332.
Each of us is called to holiness through baptism. Once we experience God in our hearts, we yearn to bring Him closer. Deep prayer allows us to do that. Making a commitment to develop a deeper prayer life is a major step in that process. Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center invites us to experience a personal encounter with Jesus through a 3-day silent retreat to communicate with God in complete silence. This affords us the greatest opportunity to know Him, His heart, and His will for each of us. Separate silent retreats for men and women are scheduled approximately every other month at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center. For complete information and to sign up for the next silent retreat, visit deepprayer.org. Start your journey now at deepprayer.org.